everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Tom, hope you had a great holiday season.
I did. I got to spend it over in Texas with my daughter and my son and their families.
Very nice. Well, yeah. It's good to see you again. This is really our first live show back together since before the holidays, because, of course, last Friday was New Year's Day, and the Friday before was Christmas Day. So we're back with it with our Friday Focus interview today with State Senator Steve Farley. Dylan Smith is with me. Dylan is editor and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. The Buckmaster Show live line now open for you, 790-2040. Our Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Slowly but surely, we're doing the Twitter thing, and the address there is at Buckmaster Show. A big shout out to our media partners, Tucson Sentinel, speaking of TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and our Friday Focus interview today, State Senator Steve Farley, a Democrat representing the 9th Arizona Legislative District. Senator Farley, how are you?
I'm doing great. Getting excited for the next session.
I'm sure you are, which will begin on Monday. But before we talk about the next session, Dylan, good to have you as always with us. It's a rather somber day in Tucson. 5 years ago, you know, in some ways, the anniversary, the five-year anniversary of what has become known now as just the Tucson shooting tragedy, is as fresh to me as if it happened yesterday.
It absolutely is. I mean, I'll never forget the moment that I found out about it, which is when my campaign manager, Daniel Hernandez, called me, and I was with my family going to Fort Huachuca on a little outing, and he called. He came over the Bluetooth. I was excited to hear from him, and he said, Steve, Gabby's been shot. I'm in the ambulance with her, holding her head in my hands. And he asked me to get to the hospital, the whole family. We went there, sat with Gabby's mom, with Ron Barber's family in a little room in the emergency, not knowing what was happening and just praying together. And I remember my daughters came to me later that day when there were some of the other victims, and they were crying, and they came to me and said, Daddy, I don't want you in politics. That was a really difficult moment. But I'm still in politics because we can't be bullied down. We have to stand up for what's right. And Gabby certainly was a perfect example of how to do that, and she's still going on and doing great things right now, even having been injured so severely.
I think it's kind of fitting in a way that pretty much I think every anniversary since that bright, sunny, not really warm, but you can feel the sunshine that morning, every January 8th since then in Tucson has been pretty gray and not a very happy day. I was at a memorial ceremony that was held at UMC this morning, where there were a number of the survivors and their families of the victims, people who worked at the hospital and first responders, and it was a really in a way somewhat heartening how so many of these people have built such great relationships, how well they have bonded together over this thing that should never have brought them together in this way. But they've created some very unique relationships.
Yep. We will, hopefully none of us will ever forget this day. Steve Farley, on Monday, it's the Governor Ducey presenting his He'll roll out his State of the State address, and usually it's pretty traditional that there's kind of a big headline that comes out of these things. If you were to make a prediction, what do you think that headline will be?
I don't want it to be this headline.
But you think it will
be. But I think the headline might be that he calls for the elimination of the state income tax. And, you know, most people, you think, hey, getting rid of a tax, that sounds great. I don't like to pay taxes. But when you look at the state income tax, most people earning less than $100,000 a year don't pay much or anything. Those earning more than $150,000 a year pay much more than anyone else. So if you get rid of it, they're the ones who benefit. Well, the folks at the lower end of the spectrum will hurt, because from what I hear, he's interested in potentially paying for that hit, which would be 40% of our general fund budget, by increasing our sales taxes and instituting a sales tax on groceries. So what you're doing is literally stealing from the poor and giving to the rich, which could be devastating for a state which already has one of the highest rates of poverty in the country and is struggling with lots of unmet needs, including schools that aren't working for our kids or for our economy.
Can that be done by the legislature, or to eliminate the entire state income tax, would that require a vote of the people?
No, you can eliminate a tax with a simple majority in the legislature. It takes a two-thirds majority to raise a tax.
The legislature could do this.
Oh, the legislature can do it. They don't have to ask the people.
To increase it and to institute that tax on groceries, wouldn't it take that two-thirds majority?
That would take the majority. So they would have to ask people to somehow come up with it. But they could eliminate it and just have a 40% hole in the budget without having any trouble. And I could possibly see them doing that. They'll just cut more things.
To spin out that thought, to create a crisis where you would have to vote for some sort of other tax to pay.
It's sort of like the crisis that's created Prop 123 at this point.
Yeah.
There's many ways of you cut, and then say, oh my gosh, we're so low on education funding, we're going to have to find a way of stealing money from our schools in the future in order to fund their schools now.
Yeah.
The story that is breaking today from the Capital Times, they did a nice job reporting about the House Speaker, David Gowen, who is running for as a Republican in Congressional District 1. His chauffeur put, I understand, 11,000 miles on a state vehicle. Is there anything illegal about that?
I think there's a lot illegal about it. I mean, we'll have to see as the facts come out. But as I read the article, it appears, I know they said that there was a 19-day trip last October in which they had the car exclusively, him and the sergeant of arms who he hired, who was a friend of his from Sierra Vista. He hired him to replace the previous sergeant of arms last year, paid him twice as much money, and he drives him back and forth to Sierra Vista from Phoenix in the state car every week.
$80,000 salary.
Exactly, twice the salary. And there was this 19-day period last October where he took the car out and drove 4,400 miles. Though when the Capital Times asked for the calendar, they redacted almost that entire period, saying it wasn't state business. It has to be state business in order to use these cars and use a person who's hired with taxpayer money. In his social media, the journalist found out that he was campaigning all over the state for Congress, which is not an allowable use.
So how many people
have to see what the AG says about it. But
how many members of the legislature have a state-provided vehicle?
That would be the speaker, I think, although a number of members of his leadership team have also used a state-provided vehicle. I didn't realize that we apparently can go over to the Department of Administration and check out a vehicle as long as it's for state business. I don't know of any Democrat who's ever done it. These are all Republicans that have been doing this. A lot of the same folks who say they're fiscal conservatives.
And so you're not driving around?
No, I'm not. I'm driving around in my Prius.
or someone,
my 2012 Prius with 130,000 miles on it.
Someone else isn't driving a state car around with you sitting in the back seat.
No, that's not happening either, and I don't get a driver.
Do you expect the AG will launch an investigation?
These are really serious charges. I mean, the journalism sounds like they've really covered themselves pretty well. So I don't know. We'll have to see as that goes along. But this could be a real story to follow.
If you're trying to be an exemplar of a Republican rural self-reliance, what are you doing with a chauffeur? I mean, really, that just kind of rings oddly.
This is the guy that wanted $2 million for a gym in the basement, new furnishings for his leadership team. All sorts of other stuff that just seemed really odd if you're saying you're trying to be a protector of taxpayers.
Changing the subject, conservatives have just been all over you on this, you welcoming, going to the airport to welcome immigrants who come to this country. I think you did another one last night.
Yeah,
You've done about half a dozen of these.
This is something I am ongoing committed to.
But you have taken all sorts of hits. Why are you welcoming immigrants? Why are you not out at Davis-Monthan welcoming home veterans?
Well, I've been welcoming veterans at the same time. And in fact, some of these refugees, one of the refugees that came in, was an Iraqi who worked for the U.S. forces over there as a translator. And in exchange for that, his house was bombed and his family was threatened. And he was able to come over here as a refugee because he helped us. But he put his life on the line, and his whole life was passed, and he couldn't go back to it because of his commitment to helping our troops over there. So you don't have to choose. Just because you're welcoming one group of people doesn't mean you can't welcome another. You can welcome them all, because that's what I believe America is about. And I started doing this specifically after Governor Ducey came out and said that he doesn't want any refugees from anywhere in the world coming to Arizona. We here in Arizona actually have a great history and track record of taking in people from everywhere and welcoming them as they become new Americans. We need to reinstitute that welcome. And I decided, why don't we just get together, do some sign making, and welcome them at the airport when they come?
And we've done that for a lot of families. What are they?
It's amazing. I mean, last night, we've been having potlucks every Thursday at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church. And last night we were there, and we had an Iraqi family of seven. Their eldest daughter is the only one that speaks really good English, and we were asking them, what do you need now that you've been here? What do you think we can help you with? And we've been helping with a lot of different areas. But she said, when we came to the airport and came to America, what we needed was love. And you gave that to us, so thank you. And it was a very touching moment. And now I'm trying to work with her. She graduated at 16 from high school, and she was accepted to a medical college in Baghdad. But then her family became under threat, and they had to run. So she couldn't get her transcript or her diploma. They stayed in Turkey for 2.5 years while the background checks all went through, working as a translator. And now she wants to go back and try to become a doctor, but she's not allowed to because she needs a 1-year residency requirement. So I'm trying to work with her to get in Pima with some scholarships. I actually have a bill I'm going to run to exempt refugees who have official status from the residency requirement, because why would you just want someone sitting around waiting when they could actually be able to be bettering themselves? It's amazing when you hear the stories of these refugees, and it's amazing the response from people all over Tucson who, when we put our hearts there and show our love, we make ourselves safer because we show people that America is a great country that welcomes people and makes them ours.
All right, Steve Farley is with us, State Senator Dylan Smith, sticking around for another segment. Right now we're going to take a break at 12:16, the first break of the Buckmaster Show on this Friday. Each Friday we feature different kind of 60s music. Today we're really reaching back into the vault with Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Go ahead, Mr. Fairbanks.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for our Monday Political Face-Off featuring Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Also, our monthly Arizona Business Report presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Buckmaster, during the noon hour on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, also we'll have our live streaming podcasts and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of Herb Alpert from Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, A Taste of Honey. Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass are featured 60s bump music. And our featured Friday Focus interview today is with State Senator Steve Farley, representing District Number 9 here in Tucson. Dylan Smith is here. Dylan is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Senator Farley, 10 years ago, you were the first state lawmaker in the country to speak out about the dangers of texting while driving. You tried and tried repeatedly to get a measure through the Arizona legislature. You've been unsuccessful. While you have been unsuccessful, state legislatures in 48 states have come to see the light and have passed laws against texting while driving.
So you're safe driving anywhere else besides here in Montana.
What? And I ask you this pretty much, I think, every year, because we've been doing these interviews with you. We did them kind of traditional to have you on before the session. Are you any more optimistic this time around?
Well, as a Democrat in the Arizona legislature, I have to be optimistic to keep my sanity. but this time, I really do have some basis for optimism. I had a heart-to-heart talk with Senator Andy Biggs, who's the Senate president, who's blocked this single-handedly every year. And we really brainstormed some ideas, excuse me, for some ways that we could work together on something that he might accept. So I'm still working on the language for that one right now. It's a little different from a lot of the other approaches in states, but I think it will be even more effective at dissuading people from doing this dangerous practice.
We'll have Senator Biggs on the show next week. Dylan?
Well, you know, I asked Biggs on this program, I believe it was last year.
Last year?
All these years run together.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't really have an objection to passing that law that he could articulate, other than that he just didn't want to do it. So how do you craft something that kind of meets that standard if you're trying to jump through a hoop that doesn't even seem to be there?
Well, that was what I kind of asked, and in the process of the conversation I had with him, it was more about letting him vent and then letting him talk about some brainstorming about what he might accept. And I think we've got something that he brought up that I think could be pretty good.
And legislative minutiae aside, why is this so important to you, and why have you taken this on for a decade now as the one of the main things you've been trying to get through?
Well, initially it was important to me because I got my first smartphone when I was elected, and it's a long drive between Tucson and Phoenix. And, you know, as a type A personality, I kept thinking about all that, of those emails and work piling up on my hip, and thinking, oh, I could get through some of these. This is a boring drive. And then I realized, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm driving this vehicle down the road at high speed. I could kill somebody or myself.
You're going precisely the speed limit, right?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, well, naturally, always. But the over the years, my commitment has become even stronger, because over the years, I've got so many victims' families coming into my office and telling me their stories of what's happened to them when their loved one has been killed or injured. And when you talk with people who have been affected by this, you don't want to give up. You want to do everything you can to stop the practice. And I feel like that at least, even if we excuse me, I've got a little bug in my throat. Even when we haven't been able to get it through year after year, the process of trying has gotten enough publicity with the media that I think that when people hear the story of what's happening, they may decide to stop themselves. And I did have success getting DPS to agree to enforce the speeding law to pull over texting drivers, because the speeding law says that you can't travel at a speed that is not reasonable or prudent. And it's neither reasonable nor prudent to text while driving at any speed. So they've been doing that for the last 2 years and pulling over a whole lot of people.
So if you're cruising along by Picacho Peak going 10 or 12 over in texting, you're probably not going to get the same sort of mercy you might otherwise get.
No, you can actually go 10 or 12 under and be texting, which often happens. You know, going back and forth between Tucson and Phoenix as much as I do, you can see them. They're usually going over into the median and then back, over into the median and then back, or they're going really, really slowly in front of you in the fast lane, and it's always texting. So now they can be cited for that, and they have been by DPS.
So Tucson now has a law banning texting while driving. How many other Arizona municipalities have done that?
I think we've got Cochise County, we've got Tempe, we've got Phoenix, we've got Tucson, we've got Kingman. We've got Havasu City.
Pretty soon we'll have all the states, right? I mean, we'll have all the cities, but not the state. Before we wrap this up, we've got about 4 minutes left. The education measure that will go before voters, the opposition is pretty much Jeff DeWitt, the state treasurer. Does this look like, in your opinion, it's going to pass easily?
I don't think so, because there may not be formal opposition, but there's a lot of people who are very wary of a lot of the elements of it. And
including the state superintendent of public instruction.
And all of the former treasurers besides Governor Ducey. So there's a lot of opposition. I mean, where I'm in the position of, I'm not sure whether I'm going to support or oppose, because I know that there's a lot of terrible things in this, and I know it all could have been paid for by our current surplus. And there's a whole lot more of things we need to do to support our education system, because after all, even if Prop 123 passes, it's only 70% of court-ordered inflation.
So you may say no to this. You being kind of
me
the
personally,
you were one of the biggest advocates in the last legislative session of more funding for education. But you're saying right here that you have not made your mind up.
There are triggers in there that they're talked about, which will be put in the Constitution that will limit our ability to fund education in the future. So there's a lot of things in here that could make this worse than not passing at all.
Not you're saying it's not only just a drop in the bucket.
No.
But we might end up punching a hole in the bottom of the bucket.
There's a lot of things in here that would be enshrined in the Constitution and protected that way that would not allow the legislature to fund inflation if certain economic conditions are met, or if the spending becomes more than half of the state budget. And it's already almost there. If we restored all-day kindergarten, we might be there already. So there's a lot of bad stuff going on in there, and I would like to see the governor commit to the renewal of Prop 301, which is a 0.6-cent sales tax that we need to be able to fund. We need to move forward. We can't just fund 70% of inflation with all the cuts that schools have borne in the last 5 years. We've got to restore the funding for textbooks and computers. We need teacher raises, because 44% of teachers leave after 2 years. We need building maintenance, because there's a lot of classrooms that are closed because they're dangerous and they haven't been fixed. There's a lot of things we need to do on education, and I haven't seen the governor commit to doing anything beyond this, which is just a bare minimum of what voters said we should do in 2000 already. So it's going to be a tough thing. I might end up voting for it because the only amount of money on the table, but I worry about the poison pills that go along with it.
One of the things that I haven't heard discussed too much about this is that would be the non-educational repercussions of the proposition. If we take all of this money out of the state land trust, which is an account, that's money that's basically, you know, is in the state's hands. Mm-hmm. What sort of pressure does that put on the state to start auctioning off more state land, which is what funds that account on the cheap?
There could be a lot of it, depending on what happens. Because if it, with a 6.9% withdrawal from the land trust, if we go into recession, as a lot of people are predicting in the next few years, then that 6.9% would be offset by probably a reduction in the value of the trust of maybe 6 to 10%. And then you're really cutting into the principal of the land trust, and that may put pressure onto it.
So then do we take that enormous state investment that, you know, the state owns quite a bit of public land that usually gets very slowly auctioned off for development? You know, do we suddenly have a fire sale?
Well, that was the argument of Treasurer Martin, former Treasurer Martin, and he testified before the Appropriations Committee that we could end up having our ability to manage the trust taken away from us by federal judges, because then we would be endangering the long-term health of the whole thing. It's a tough issue, and it should have been easier, because we have the money to settle the suit and we have the money to move forward. And if we eliminated the STO for corporate tax credits for private schools right now, that currently is growing, the cap is growing at 20% a year. Eventually, that'll be more than $1 billion within 10 to 15 years, because 20% of 20%, but 20% grows very quickly. We would have enough money to pay for all the things we need to do to make our schools where they should be. As it is, if Prop 123 passes, it only increases per pupil funding by $200, and that'll get us from 50th to 49th in the country, squeaking past North Dakota. There's a lot more to be done. Even if 123 passes, we got to do them.
All right. We'll see if 123 passes, and we'll see if State Senator Steve Farley winds up endorsing it. Right now, you're saying, Senator Farley, this is not a done deal.
Well, I'm trying to do legislation in January to be able to eliminate those triggers. If I'm successful in that, I think I would be endorsing this as one thing we can do. I worry about those triggers as being a constitutionally protected expenditure limit, which is some of the things the right wing have been wanting forever, like a Tabor light.
All right, State Senator Steve Farley, thank you for coming in. We'll see what happens next week at the legislative session. 1 week from today, we will have the Senate President. Senate President Biggs will be here, and we'll ask him if it looks any better for your piece of legislation on...
Well, I haven't shown him the language yet.
Oh, okay.
But I should be showing the language
soon,
by early next week.
Okay,
we'll see.
Good.
So maybe he'll see it by then.
Thank you very much, Steve Farley. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dylan Smith sticks around, and Mary Herreras joins us now from the Tucson Weekly after we take our mid-break here on the Buckmaster Show. More music of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. This is The Lonely Bull. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. When I hear some of these Herb Alpert bump selections that Mr. Tom Fairbanks has played for us, Dylan Smith, I think of The Dating Game.
Well, the one, it was the theme to The Dating Game.
That's right.
This one's a little bit similar. It's got the same
kind of
beat. Yeah,
it's a little similar.
I think there's going to be a competition this afternoon in my head as to which one of these will be the earworm of the weekend.
Yeah.
One of these things is going to stick. Thanks for that, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. That of course, is from Whipped Cream and Other Delights, Herb Alpert's Tijuana Brass, and the cover of that Whipped Cream
was quite a sensation back in the day.
Back in the day. There it is. Look at that. That is just unbelievable.
Oh, that is for
And, of course, they
period.
Used
wow.
shaving cream rather than whipped cream because the whipped cream wouldn't have held up as well. But well,
especially under studio lights, I've always found the whipped cream to be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. Mari Herrera's joining us. Mari, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you since the holiday. Did you have a good holiday?
I did, actually. Good. I had a really cool holiday. I went up to Pine Top for a week and experienced snow, and confirmed that I'm not much of a snow person.
That's why I love Chicago. Not much of a snow person.
Well, there you go. Just the bitter cold in Chicago.
Cold,
the wind coming off the lake. And no thanks. There's a reason that we,
live where we live.
Yes, why you absolutely. Left Wisconsin, Dylan Smith.
Yeah. My parents.
He was chased out of Wisconsin. Well, I don't know if you know that story, Bill.
My parents went on vacation.
The Madison police still have a rap sheet a mile long on Mr. Dylan Smith now.
My parents went on vacation in the middle of winter. And actually, they rented a house while they were on vacation. That's they decided. Wow. I can't use the sort of language on the radio that they used in exclaiming their complete lack of desire to spend another Wisconsin winter.
Can be very dreadful. And for those who don't know, for the full introduction, Mari is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. A couple of things I want to pick up on. Mari, I don't know if you were in the other room listening at all to the Steve Farley interview, but there were a couple of things that sort of jumped out at me, Dylan, and those items. First of all, this what I believe is really kind of outrageous use of, I guess, but it's using taxpayers' money, right? With a chauffeur
to
drive the state, a
taxpayer-funded vehicle to cruise around
for 11,000 miles around the state.
That's a lot of trips back and forth between Sierra Vista and Phoenix.
And whether or not there is something illegal about this, State Senator Farley said, we will find out whether the Attorney General starts to look into this.
It'd be nice to know that. I mean, it would be a great thing to pick up on. I'm not sure if he's going to pick up on it, though, because there's not that much motivation, I imagine, for this one to look into. And there's a longevity here and a history as well. So, but it's...
And it's the Capitol Times.
Illegal or no, it's not something that really looks very good.
That's exactly.
Yeah,
the appearance of it looks really bad. Another thing that jumped out at me, because Senator Farley has been such an advocate for education, I was just assuming, and again, you never can assume anything, can you, Dylan or Mari, that he would be a yes vote on the upcoming education initiative, the measure that people will be voting on in May, and he's got some serious questions.
Well,
about
I think it's kind of similar in that vein of the limousine. And I bear with me here. I know it's a bit of a reach, but it's all in how you're perceived, how you look. I mean, I think if you're a Democrat and in Farley's district, I would be a little leery of getting in bed with 123 because of how it came about. And I think it's great that he's not jumping on it and sticking up for what's going to be complicated and very interesting race, in a sense, for this initiative.
There are, quite a number of moving parts to this thing. It's not just, hey, let's pay back a fairly decent chunk of the money that we were supposed to be paying all along to schools, 70% of what we should have been funding them at.
Right.
There's a whole lot more to it than just trying to play catch up. It's, really how this all plays out, how it affects future school funding. And there are a number of different parts to it that are going to be, I think, that more important to look at that long-term bit than whether, this little bit of more money for each student is, the best thing to do right now. We are terribly underfunded for education in this
state. We definitely are.
I don't think it's really hard to make an argument that we do not underfund education. Most of the business community is pretty adamant about the fact that we are really not investing in schools the way we should be.
And the business community is really supporting this. There's a lot of money that will be spent on advertising, urging people to vote yes. And the business community is pushing a lot of that.
Right. No, I'm sure there will be a lot of advertising. I'm sure the business community, like the Salk folks and such, will be pushing for this. But again, look at how this whole thing came about. The two sides were in court mediating with the judge over this lawsuit, and it failed, and that moving forward in that area. I mean, this is a sad replacement for really addressing education that DC's not willing to do.
A federal judge told the state of Arizona, hey, you need to live up to what the voters told you to do and pay this money. And basically the state, the legislature in particular, said, nah, we're not going to do that.
Right.
Even though we actually have that money sitting in an account.
Dylan, I know you're not a big fan of Wallet Hub that does these surveys.
Yeah,
they garner a lot of publicity. They garner a lot of news,
that's
I'm giving them some publicity right now. Wallet Hub ranking Tucson very low. In fact, the worst of any Arizona community to get a job.
Well, the factors that not just Wallet Hub, but Movado, and there are a number of these sites that are...
I don't like that one myself.
Basically, trying to gin up interest by doing these surveys with some usually fairly dubious criteria that they set out and, pretty much throwing darts at the wall to come up with these rankings because they know that people in the communities at both the top and the bottom of the list... We'll end up talking about them and maybe go to one of these websites.
Like we're doing right now.
Exactly.
Well, there's also, though, some of our unemployed brethren or folks who, who struggle with the model we call the struggling model of journalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
End up working for some of these outfits because that's, you know, a job that's out there. But I also think we also know, I mean, it's not as if it's this huge, you know, you see a headline like that. It's not as if it's going to be like, oh, wow, that's such a shocker. You know,
I thought Tucson was a great place to get hired.
There's a bursting economic mentality.
Low-wage, poor community. Yeah, that's news, sure. We had Mark Stegeman on the program yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Stegeman, and he's not at all happy with Adelita being named board chair for a fourth year. And he was saying that, and I asked him if you were to have been named the board president.
Oh, what did he say?
Would be highly unlikely.
Well, I'd have to quit my job to run for an elected office. Yeah. That would be one thing.
He just doesn't feel that he thought that a change would be good, but we kind of know the way that was going to go.
You know, we did know how that was going to go. And Adelita and Mark, you know, their relationship plays for some great drama sometimes at this TUSD meetings, that is for sure.
He made his request again. He has done this before. He was hoping that Adelita and I think Cam and Crystal were listening, and perhaps they were, but he again extended this invitation to meet over coffee, and it wouldn't constitute a board meeting.
Right,
but he wanted, you know, he's extending this invitation. He wants to better relations with them.
I actually find it kind of interesting in a way, Mark Stegeman's evolution, latest evolution in a way the Mishigas of TUSD board politics. It never ends anyway, and it's still partly the same thing. But it is kind of interesting where the approach he's taking now. He's separated himself a little bit from Michael mm-hmm. Hicks. But at the same time, definitely not part of the majority. But he's bringing up things that someone's got to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And the board majority certainly has a place, and they're doing some good stuff. But at the same time, again, I look at Sechrest. I look at this thing that I know Mark is taking on right now. This is, there are many facets.
The Sechrest middle school, situation.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are things that we still need to talk about that the board majority does not want to talk about, which is the DSEG plan, and the fact that the DSEG plan, a big part of it, calls for training of teachers in difficult school districts or you know, marginalized, minority-focused, whatever you want to call it. And that is a school that inherited a population from another district, another school during the closure situation, that is more of a marginalized population. And these teachers are having a difficult time dealing with that and don't want to address the things that a lot of other people usually address that have to deal with all sorts of diverse communities. This is not a population that's willing to do that. They need that training. That's something that was part of the DSEG plan. Let's get real about that. I'm so tired of the bickering that goes on and the fact this board majority still doesn't want to address it. And so part of me is kind of glad the Mark's around to poke holes and prod.
You know, we see these sort of personality conflicts. That's part of politics.
Right.
You know, some people get along, some people hate each other, even if they're in the same political party. But I think, you know, the smaller that body is that people are serving on, the more that comes into play. You see it an awful lot at school boards because mm-hmm. that's, you know, five people. You see it at the Board of Supervisors because it's very small. A little bit on the city council, but it's, you know, a slightly larger group of people. So it, you know, doesn't have such an immediate effect that it does on, you know, some of the five-member elected bodies.
The city will be asking residents whether or not they will be in favor of a sales tax. How do you think that will go?
Well, everybody always loves to pay more in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes people are willing to vote, and then people would have to vote to approve an increase in the sales tax. That if something is specific and you know, you can point out the value in what it is. To just say that, oh, we have a deficit of $50 million and we need to raise some more money, so let's just raise sales taxes to fill that hole, that's not the kind of argument that will end up really resonating well with voters. Then they'll just say, well, cut some stuff.
I guess it's good that
if you can point out what it's going to be
first. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, but I guess it's good that they're asking first, at least, to get that heads up. I mean, we don't want to go another situation like the county, right?
Well, the county did ask for years, was a huge process, and they still just ran into a wall.
But I think in this case, though, when we brought these up, specifically the sales tax, you have a group of activists in town that are going to come forward and remind everybody just what we talked about regarding Wallet Hub and what kind of community we have here, mm-hmm. and talk about the hurt that comes with that extra tax for some people that... Every dollar counts. I mean, I think sometimes we forget, if we're not in that bracket of every dollar counting, how stressful it is. And when you go to the grocery store or drugstore or whatever, and you're buying something you really need, that little dollar can mean so much to so many people. And so the sales tax thing isn't such a cut and dry issue when you have a community like Tucson.
It's somewhat related to that, if Governor Ducey does try and move ahead with his expressed desire to eliminate the state income tax, one of the potential ways to backstop that, to still have somewhat of a revenue stream for the state, would be to expand the sales tax to groceries, which are not now taxed.
Yeah.
And that is the item that Senator Farley believes could be the kind of the headline maker from the speech, the State of the State speech on Monday. All right. Any New Year's resolutions, Mari?
Oy vey. I guess, you know, the normal thing, less carbs, getting up to Mamak more often. Mm-hmm. And Linda Ray and I we have a plan in 2017 to walk Hadrian's Wall in Scotland.
Good. Good.
So I got to get my butt into shape.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Give Linda my regards, please. All right. And Dylan, did you make any resolutions?
You know, I'm not big on making an annual resolution.
You kind of make a daily one.
Less
right?
drinking, Dylan, would that be no?
No. Certainly
more
that
dogs?
May, that may have been one on New Year's Day. I may have expressed that sentiment.
Less drinking on New Year's Day. Yeah, that was. Okay. We'll leave it right there. Mari and Dylan, thank you very much, and I hope you both have a great year. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All right, time for the first weekend watch of the new year as we close out week number one of year number six of the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Always makes a great getaway. Just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in downtown historic Silver City. Just do some antiquing, some just kind of hanging out. Visit some of their fine restaurants and really enjoy a totally different experience in one of the truly beautiful areas of the United States, Southwest New Mexico. And there are great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon. The full list of places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. He is the president and CEO of the award-winning Tucson-based Russell Public Communication. How are you, Matt, and happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Bill, and happy 6th anniversary to the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing it. 6 years. We're into year number six.
So exciting.
Hey, do you have a happy hour pick for us?
I do, Bill. You know, on a cold and blustery day like today, I'm thinking about getting all warm inside for happy hour. And today that means Amalur Revival Lounge over there on River and Campbell. Now, this is truly a cozy cocktail menu. And the perfect example is a drink called the Smoke and Fire, made with mezcal and muddled chilies. Now, if that doesn't warm you up in a hurry, pair it with an order of cauliflower and jalapeno fritters, and you are good to go. Happy hour starts at 3 o'clock today at Amalur.
Hey, you could be one of those fire eaters after that one, I'll tell you. I heard there's something going on at a place called Red Smokehouse.
Yeah, you know, the new year always means new restaurants, and barbecue fans are celebrating this week's opening of Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room over on University Boulevard, just west of Park. Now, Chef Ramiro Scabo has brought some Sonoran inspiration to the craft of Q, from ribs seasoned with guajillo chilies to achiote pulled pork. 20 beers on tap are going to round out the menu, and many of them are local. So check out the new place where barbecue meets the borderlands, Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room. A lot of fun.
You know, you usually don't think of the pairing of whiskey and donuts, but hey, why not?
This just in from the You Just Can't Make This Stuff Up desk. You got it. A new eatery has opened up on Congress downtown called Batch, where they specialize in donuts and whiskey. Now, this weird and wild concept has already attracted lines of people out the door in their first few days just to get a glimpse of how premium-aged whiskeys and freshly baked donuts work together. I think I'm going to grab a place in line this week in my lifelong pursuit of the perfect pairing, Bavarian cream and bourbon. We'll see you at Batch, Bill.
Hey, the Inside Tucson Business column, you look at some of the top stories in the restaurant scene in the current column. What's at the top of the list, Matt Russell?
Yeah, of all the stories I wrote in 2015, the one column that get most of my readers sharing and posting and enthusiastically tweeting is about the Louisiana barbecue food truck that's been making its way across Tucson for the last couple of years. This is a guy that was born and raised in the 9th Ward of New Orleans. He's brought Louisiana barbecue to Tucson. That was the number one food story in Inside Tucson Business last year, and I write about 9 of the other ones in the top 10 list in this week's edition.
Good weekend, good year to you, Matt Russell. Thank you.
Happy New Year, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our whole team here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, our fine operations manager and producer and engineer of the Buckmaster Show, Monday through Thursday, Ray Allen, producer ace, production ace, Jerry Cross, our production specialist Ed Alexander, and of course Tom Fairbanks, my executive assistant Rosemary Brandt. I'm wishing you, me, Bill Buckmaster, have a safe and wonderful weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.